Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Book of Romans. We're going to get into it here in a moment in chapter 10. Pick it up about verse 14. Well, do you know, Romans, the ABCs of the gospel. And what have we learned in the last lecture and or so? The fact that the word comes out of your mouth. That's why you read it. That's why you absorb it. That's why you can share it with others to give them hope. To give them the truth from God's word, to lead them, and how precious it is to have the ABCs of the gospel so that you know what it takes to enrich lives, to give lives a purpose, and to have the blessings from our Father. That is ever so important. What a gift it is. And it's a gift from our Father. The ABCs of the gospel, chapter 10, verse 14, a word of wisdom from our Father. Let's go with it. It reads, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It takes someone teaching that word, showing them the word, showing them the way, and then there comes the very word of God pouring forth. Verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And that's what an apostle is a sent one. Okay. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, anytime somebody preaches anything other than peace, ultimate peace, there's troubled waters and so forth, but ultimately there is peace. And of course, he's quoting Isaiah 52:7 here, and Paul always giving that lesson, a Bible study, and how precious it is. It is a good thing to be blessed with knowledge that you and understanding. But that's not worth anything if it doesn't come out of your mouth. That is to say, if you don't share it. What good is it? Naturally, you can digest it. You can hang on to it. But that's not what God expects you to do with it. He expects you to let your light shine. Verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And of course, a lot don't. And you've experienced that today when the truth would come out of your mouth. And they don't want to listen. Verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you do not hear the word of God, it's going to be very difficult for you to have faith. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? Not wisdom from the street, but from the Word of God. And God's Word taught aptly, in context, rightly divided, whereby you know who is it talking to, who is it speaking about, what time element are we speaking of here, what exactly the dispensation of time are we in, and so forth. Rightly dividing that word to bring it forth. And naturally, in the generation of the fig tree, when you're so blessed to live here now, you're always interested in what tomorrow brings. That is to say, the consummation of the end of this earth age. That's the main question of Christians. How do you do it? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not hearing some fairy tale, not hearing a bunch of malarkey, but hearing the word of God brings forth that truth. Verse 18. "But I say, have they not heard?" Question. "Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world, by the prophets and by the apostles." Were they heard? 19. "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Now, naturally, this would happen in Amos chapter 6, verse 14, when the nation Hamath, which is to say the nation of Cain, when its people interwoven, neither of the night or the day, when you let them in, you're in for a heap of hurt. Okay, but he's speaking here also of one of the greatest songs ever written. It's a song of Moses. It's a song that, as you read in Revelation chapter 15, that those that overcome the mark of the beast, those that overcome Satan, they're singing this as they go to meet the Lord, this song of Moses. And it is a simple thing. It's written in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. But what he's quoting from here, what Paul is quoting from, is the 21st verse. Let's read it. The 21st verse of Deuteronomy 32, the great song of Moses. And it reads, this is written to Jeshurun, which is a trick name for Israel when they're fat, dumb, and happy. They're too good at times, a good time Charlie, okay? This is what it's written to. Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. And they have provoked me to anger with their vanities, with their empty-headedness, is what it says. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And that nation is Hamath. Amos 6, 14, verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And so it is, even in 23, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spin my arrows upon them. You don't want God unhappy with you. If he gives you everything and then you blow it, you're in a heap of hurt. He will bring in a people that will give your nation much trouble. Anytime you go against God's plan, there will be trouble in the world against you, and you might as well get set for it. God has promised it. He said, I'll send those arrows right to you. You'll feel the sting. And when you get so busy that you can't keep up with the Word of God, if you cannot find faith by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the Word of God and listening to it, absorbing it, then you better get ready for a few stings, because there will be trouble in the world, and you won't have to look very far to find it. Returning then to the 10th chapter of the great book of Romans, let's pick it up then in verse 20. Verse 20 reads, but Esaias, that's to say Isaiah, is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. God is a jealous God. You don't want to admit. What is he quoting here from Isaiah? Isaiah 65, verse 1. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. This is what Paul is giving you a lesson about. What does it say? I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, perversion, and you name it. Verse 3, a people that provoketh me to anger continually. To my face, they sacrificed in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Not the clear stones that man hasn't touched, but an altar made by man's hands, not God. Verse 4. which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, and they just really pig out on it. Verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. You're going to get what you got coming to you. And Father guarantees that. But this is why Paul wants you to make a Bible study. This is why he wants you to find faith by hearing, and hearing by hearing the Word of God. I hope you understand when God says you're like a stench in my nose, he's not going to keep you around. So you don't. If you expect God's blessings, go around and find some false teaching and something that draws away from the real Word of God, and claim that all evil perversions are okay as friendship. See what God does to you. You better get set for it, and you better know it's coming. Returning then to the 10th chapter of the great book of Romans, and verse 21 reads, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You just won't listen. If you don't listen, you don't have faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So anytime you leave that equation out of your life, you're headed for trouble. I don't think God could promise that trouble will come to you in any better way. He says, I'll bring it to you. I'll release my arrows against you. So what you want to do is always remember and hear the Word of God. Let him know you love him and follow him. Chapter 11, verse 1. This is a very important chapter. It's one of Paul's main ministries. You want to listen to it carefully. Verse 1 reads, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Israel, that is to say. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, if you want to know Paul's birthright, you'll never find a better place than right there to know what it is. He was a Benjamite. He was an Israelite because Benjamin was one of the 12 tribes of the house of Israel, and they all came after Abraham. So there you have it. Well, Paul said he was a Jew in one place. In another place, he says his father was a Roman freeborn citizen, but he was still a Benjamite. But this is the reason Paul, many times when he was be captured by the Romans, they would want to beat him. He'd say, is it legal for you to beat a freeborn Roman? Of course, you had to go all the way to Caesar to do that. And somebody could get in much trouble doing that, so they would have to let Paul go. So his birthright meant many things. Why, how could he say then he was of Judah? Because he lived in Judea. Therefore, he was of Judah by residence and residence only. He studied in Judah, at the feet of Gamaliel, in Jerusalem, which made him just like here, like if I live in Arkansas, I'm an Arkansan. But that doesn't have anything to do with my Irish genealogy. So there you see how Paul can be many things. But if you want to know what he actually was in God's house, then you find it in that verse 1. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. Verse 2. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. That's to say, he knew them from before. What you not what the scripture saith of Elias? That's to say, Elijah. Do you know what it says about Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, verse 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. In other words, Ahab and others, as you know in 2 Kings, how difficult it was on this one as they pursued him in 1 Kings 9:10 and so forth. But what did God say to him? Verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him when he was all alone and crying out? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. There's no gender in that. It means children. Who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, this has not come to pass yet. Because it speaks to the coming of the false Messiah. He said, I have set aside the elect, and they're not about to bow a knee to the Antichrist. They're not going to do it. Why? Because I chose them, I foreknew them. As it's written in the 8th chapter of this great book, I predestined them to bring this to pass. Many of you have known there you had a destiny. It's not that big a deal. You earned it. It's not because you're the best. You stood against Satan in the first earth age, and you're going to do it again. And God has those that are set aside, and he means it. That's straight from Father's mouth. Verse 5, to continue. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant. I want you to remember that word, remnant. According to the election of grace. There has always been that remnant, not elect, but a remnant that has brought forth the true message of God, the word of God, by hearing and faith coming from that, the destiny and the purpose. Paul happened to be a part of that remnant. He brings forth this truth so for you, right from God's word, so that you can absorb it and understand it. Verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That may sound a little confused, but there is destiny within that. If you were chosen in the first earth age, you were already justified. As you remember, it was written in the 8th chapter of this great book, along about verse 26, 27, about 29 or 30, concerning God's elect. Verse 7, what then? What can we say about this? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The rest were hardened, meaning they were blind. Why would God do that? Why would God blind certain people? The election know they must stand against the false Christ. And if the election refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, then that becomes the unpardonable sin. It's unforgivable. Therefore, people that have not proved they have the courage, the audacity to stand against at all cost, the false one, then God simply hardened their mind whereby they will not be in a position of the elect to have to make a stand against Antichrist. And naturally, when the millennium comes along, they will be able to see the word and salvation will be available. Why? Because they never heard the truth, actually. And God protect, this is an act of love, not of God shunning people. It's God loving his children and wanting all to come to the place whereby they have the ability to attain eternal life. So that may be difficult for some, but it's when you stop and think, the election stood in the first earth age, and all others whored after Antichrist, after Satan, the king of Tyrus, which means a false rock. They can be deceived so easily. And if you have any experience at all in this generation, which is, in my opinion, the final generation before that consummation, God saved all those that were deceived to live in this generation to stand to see the false Messiah. Therefore, you see some people that are risque, could care less, and are disobedient to God, and it makes God's election just real precious when you find a seed that cares, somebody that loves him, somebody that wants to make that stand against people that would mislead God's children, whomever they are. But within this comes the beautiful plan of salvation, not only for Israel, but for all nations, all tribes, all races that will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this leads up to, and that being the purpose, is that God wants all of his children to be blessed. Verse 8 to continue. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Excuse me, and sometimes you wonder, well, why can't that person see that? I've told them the truth. I can see it. It's so simple a child can understand. Why can't they see it? God has closed their eyes for their own protection. And don't worry, when the right time comes, when you're delivered up, when you tell the truth and when you're delivered up, they will see and they will remember, this is exactly what that person said would come to pass. The false Christ comes first. And there he is standing, he or she is standing against that false one. And many that you think maybe didn't see will convert at that moment, because they will know that that prophecy was true and it was spoken in their very presence. And therefore, hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God from the mouth of one of God's children. How precious it is to live in this generation. It is a beautiful thing to love our Heavenly Father. This reminds me of Deuteronomy 29:4, just before that great song of Moses in preparation. And you're not going to have it. I just want to read a verse or two from it. 29 verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and your shoes not waxen old upon your foot. They see these beautiful things come to pass and still don't see. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine nor strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And so it is that our Father showed them that whole generation. You're in a generation. It's called the generation of the fig tree. And God makes many things very plain to his election. Why? Because he foreknew them. They were prepared for that moment to see and to hear. They're not holier than anyone else. That's obvious. But in the simplicity in which Christ teaches, they absorb that word. Well, what word is that? The word of God, through which comes faith, by hearing that word. And how precious it is. Let's continue then back in chapter 11, verse 9, next verse. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Well, how could Christ become a stumbling block? Well, there are many people that want to do the Christian thing. Well, what does the Christian thing do? You worship Christ. But if they're not taught the difference between the true Christ and the fake, they're going to worship Antichrist. Because Antichrist, he looks, if you haven't been taught, if you don't know that he comes at the sixth trump, which is plainly written in the book of Revelations, a child can understand it, the true Christ doesn't return until the seventh trump, that they're going to believe that the false is the Christ because he looks like Christ, acts like Christ, claims to be Christ, he's supernatural, he can snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven, as it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Putting on a show before people. And then Christ's name becomes a stumbling block because of Antichrist. You got to know the difference, my friend. That's why he sends you the word. And that's why you build faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not some man. Whereby you know the chronological order of events that consummate the end of this age, or you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be very ashamed. You want to know the truth. And the truth will always follow you. Now, verse 10, next verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. It's a heavy load they're going to carry. And how precious it is that that heavy load is man's traditions. Man's way, when God makes it so plain, right here, that you can understand. Most people can count from 1 to 7. That's the order of things. Surely you're not going to confuse yourself. Well, what do you mean 1 through 7, from the first trump to the seventh? Have you ever read it? If you haven't, shame on you. You deserve to be deceived if you haven't, because a child can understand the chronological order of events and will not be deceived. Well, I wanted to be caught away. Well, that's Satan's message, and he's coming first. Which one's going to catch you away, the true Christ or the false? When the true Christ comes at the seventh trump, you're changed into a spiritual body. And I guarantee you a real simple way to understand is, as long as you're in a flesh body, Christ is not here. As Christ would tell you in Mark chapter 13, if they tell you he's out in the desert or somewhere else, that Christ is out there, don't you believe it. As long as you're especially in a flesh body, he's a fake. And he's trying to deceive you. Don't go there. Verse 11 to continue. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Question. Did God do that just so they would simply fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. That here, that olive tree is made fertile, that the Gentile, whomsoever will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, can be grafted in into that body of Christ that brings completeness. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing or the decay or loss of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, that both can absorb and both be led to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And of course, what he's referring to is in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, God labeled him, Paul, as a chosen vessel who would be sent, a sent one, that's an apostle, to both the house of Israel, to the nations, which is to say the Gentiles, and to the kings and queens thereof. So he always has that message that brings freedom to whomsoever will. That was Paul's destiny. It is God's purpose for him as he leads forth, and certainly was through Paul. Through this same one came a great deal of the New Testament, the very word itself. Verse 14, to continue. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. It's just possible that some of them could see this truth, though they might have even been hardened. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? That is to say, by God rejuvenated and brought back from having slid away from the Word of God and brought back into the truth whereby they follow and are blessed. How precious it is. Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And so it is, Numbers 15:20, where this is declared and brought forth. And so it is that if you are grafted in, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's holy. He accepts you. You're a child of God. You're not a child of the world. You're not a child of someone else. Even if you were a Kenite and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept and repent, then you are no longer a child of the devil, but you're a child of the living God through Christ. He is able. How beautiful it is that that word was shared, that God himself came, he paid that price, that whomsoever will can have that freedom. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. We have a judge. It's our Father. He'll do all the judging. All you have to do is practice spiritual discernment, whether something you hear is truth or fiction. That's your responsibility then. Spiritual discernment is a gift from God to be able to discern truth and be responsible for it. It's a beautiful thing. Let him know you love him. You that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Hey, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, got a prayer request? You can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's a mind reader. And let him know, what does he want mainly from you? That's the most important thing that you know. He wants you to love him. He certainly loves you. Last verse of Revelation, chapter 4. God created all things for his pleasure. If you don't pleasure him, you're not pleasing him. You pleasure him by letting him know you love him. Father, around the globe we come and we do love you. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, question time. We're going to go with Wendy from Arkansas. Will all the souls from the first earth age be born or at least conceived in the second earth age before Christ returns? Yes, that is declared. And God is always fair. He treats everybody equally. Will there be a world war before the Antichrist comes? I do not think so. There will be trouble. There will be rumors of war. But what is the actual sign, according to Matthew 24 and Mark 14, 13, about the return of Christ? It's real simple. What's the opposite of war is world peace. That's what you want to be careful of in these end times, is when they claim they have world peace, because it won't be peace to God. It'll be to man and to the false one. Did Ishmael start the Islamic religion? Well, his offspring did, and so it is. Esther from California. I'm 77 years old, and I don't know what good works I did, if any. Will God forgive me and give me something to wear, even if it's not fancy? I don't want to run around naked. Well, of course, you're taking from the fact that our righteous deeds weave the fine linen that makes the robe we wear in heaven. But, hey, when you smile at someone, and when you even write here and let us know that you love the Lord, and so certainly that's good works. And, you know, the main thing is, Esther, in this generation, your destiny is to stand against the false one. And you don't have to worry about what you say. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. So that heaps up a pile of yarn, of linen that can't compare. Maurice from Maryland. I have come across people who claim not to vote because of the Bible. I do not believe this is true. Can you give me scripture support that this is wrong? Well, God instructs us to vote. How else can you have an opinion? Do you know when Judas ceased being an apostle? How do you think they reassigned a new apostle? They voted. You can read it in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. It's called casting lots. That's vote. Each one of them voted. Their vote brought in a new member. Voting is a very Christian thing. Always has been. It always will be. And you pray about it, and you do it the Christian way, and you go for it. Dwight from Tennessee. I think you say a woman can teach or preach in Acts and Joel, but a friend told me a woman can preach but not lead a church as the head pastor. Please help me. I wonder if anybody forgot to tell Deborah that. You know? I wonder if somebody forgot to tell Deborah, you cannot lead not only the church but the whole nation. Because God chose her to lead that nation. I wonder if somebody forgot to tell her. Maybe your friend. Now, what my point is, do you listen to your friend or do you listen to God? Now, let's even take from Deborah the men wouldn't even go to war until she got in that chariot and she whacked and she led the way and they defeated the enemy. He ran and cast. Who captured the captain of the enemy? A woman. Her name was Jael. She saw him out there, and as women can do when they are at their best, she said, "Would you like some cool buttermilk to cool yourself down and rest a little bit? Lay your little head down there on the ground. Lay your head down there so I can drive this tent peg right through it." And J.L. brought him down. And I don't know, those were women. I wonder maybe if God forgot to tell them. And how precious it is. Well, I don't know. God says, "Don't you judge. I'm going to use both men and daughters, sons and daughters in the end time. And it isn't up for friends to judge. God has already spoken, and the women are destined, and it's going to happen." I guess you all can see why I'm so popular with the ladies. Okay, that's just the way it is. I am popular with my Heavenly Father. That's what counts. Okay, I'm trying to spot who I'm talking about here. Gerald from Pennsylvania. I'm wondering if you would be kind enough to tell me why in Luke 7:22, the 22nd verse, 7th chapter, 22nd verse, Jesus is saying to John's disciples to tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Question, why only is the gospel preached to the poor? It isn't that it's only preached to the poor. It is also preached to the poor. You know, a person usually, let's say with leprosy, was ousted, had nothing, would be poor, and they would call from the roadside to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would not forbid them. In other words, he was both to the rich and to the poor. He does not play favorites. It does not matter if what matters is, do you love him and do you trust him? So it was common that all had the privilege of serving the Lord and being blessed, both the poor and anyone else. Bella from Oklahoma. Who do you think the two witnesses in Revelation 11 are? Well, who showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ in transfigured bodies? Elijah and Moses. Why Elijah and Moses? Well, Elijah is the head prophet. Moses is the head law, and Christ is the Savior. And if we ever need witnesses, it'll be those that know prophecy and the law. And so it is. Donna from Virginia, that's my opinion and my opinion only. No one knows for certain. Donna from Virginia, in chapter 11 of Revelation, are the two witnesses here for 1,260 days, or has their time been shortened to 10 days? To 10 days more, longer or more than the 5 months. It's about 5 days more than the 5 months. Why? Because God is always fair. He's equal. He would have shortened the days over the moons. Satan's prophecies are always given in moons, which is to say at night. 42 months he was supposed to have. It was shortened to 5 moons. 5 moons is about a day and a half short of 30 days a month, solar. So that gives you an idea. But God is always fair. That's the way he does it. This would be Dayer from 10 years old. And let's see. Pastor Murray, is it okay to take flowers and balloons to great-grandmothers that are in the grave because me and my family do? Please answer my question. Bless you. There's nothing wrong with showing respect for those that have passed on, but do know they are with the Father. But this is what we had with us, and That's respectful, and there's certainly nothing wrong with it, okay? It shows love and understanding. And here we have Glenda from Nevada. In John chapter 21, verses 7 and 21-20, it talks about the disciple from whom Jesus loved and leaned on his breast at supper. Who is this? Leaned abreast of him to talk around him. And that was John, St. John, who wrote the most of the New Testament. And your first question is 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, which means cursed, and marenta. Please explain what anathema, which is cursed, and anantha means our Lord has come. If you don't believe it, then probably you would be cursed because you would not be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Keith from Iowa, how many and who were at the Last Supper? Well, it was pretty a social event. It was the 12. There was 13, the Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles. At current rate of population growth, how long will it take to reach 12 billion? Well, till the end, okay? Because as soon as all the souls created by God have passed through the flesh, then the end will, or born a woman, I should say, then the end will come. Roxy from Ohio, question, people who have died, are they awaiting judgment? Well, we all are, yes. They are in paradise, as Christ taught aptly in Luke chapter 16 concerning Lazarus and the rich man, a parable concerning two actual people that walked the earth. And certainly there is a form of judgment from the Book of Life when you first get to paradise. Some would call it the judgment seat of Christ. It's actually the judgment seat of the Book of Life, which is to say, you're going to decide which side of that gulf you go on. But then it will be to the end of the millennium before the great white throne judgment takes place. Revelation chapter 20, closing verses. Roxy from Ohio, same person. Has anybody in a spiritual body ever died? And the answer is no. Not even Satan. Satan is still very much alive. And so has everyone that has passed on in the flesh. They are with God in a spiritual body. And when you say a spiritual body, then that makes the difference. Even the fallen angels, the Nephilim, have not died. They're locked away, as you can read in the book of Jude in the first six verses, for destruction. But there will be some that will begin to die spiritually. And certainly, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 23 or 28, is whichever, it states there, fear not he who can kill your flesh body, but fear he who can kill your flesh body and cause your soul to perish. That means to be blotted out. That's only our Heavenly Father. So that's what happens at the very end. When spiritual bodies cease to be, they're blotted out. They're gone forever. Paul from Florida. Question, are the people of Gibeon in the book of Joshua the same people in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah called the Nethinims? Yes, they are. They had worked themselves up in quite a position in doing liturgical duties, that is to say, duties to the temple. They even begin to wear the robes of a priest. But they were not priests. They were counterfeit. And Nethinims means, in the Hebrew tongue, given to service. And, of course, they, by lying and Joshua giving them the privilege, he couldn't go back on that. So they still existed. And certainly, in chapter 8 of the great book of Ezra, you find that they didn't even have a Levitical priest with them when they went back to reclaim and build Jerusalem. All they had were these Nethinims, and guess who Joshua was sent back to get a Levitical priest? A Nethinim. That's a sad state of affairs, and that's something, it happened for our edification, meaning pay attention and don't let it happen to you. Joshua from California. Question, is Behemoth in chapter 40, verse 15 of the book of Job a Bontaras, Rias? He was a mammoth, yes, a dinosaur type. And is Leviathan, is the same book, in the same book of Job in chapter 41, verse 1, a dragon? It was a crocodile symbolizing the dragon. Now, here's what's important about that. When did the dinosaur exist? The dinosaur existed in the first earth age. So then chapter 40 is talking about the first earth age. And what is 41 with the dragon? This earth age and the fact that Satan has come as a deceiver. That was the main thing God told Job when Job stopped listening to a bunch of clowns. Bobby from Tennessee, can you please explain 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17? What are the unclean things? Well, false teaching. Anytime you allow somebody to draw you away from the true Word of God with man's prattle going on and on with chatter, 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 telling stories of the world and not God's Word, you're never going to gain faith by that. And you found out the reason why in today's lecture. Faith comes from only one thing. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? Chatter? Prattle? Fairy tales? Stories of men? No, from hearing the Word of God. Anytime you place man's word in the place of God's word, you're in a heap of hurt. That's unclean. Especially if you claim it to be God's word. That makes him very unhappy. When God makes this, in Ezekiel chapter 13, God said, I'm really against those preachers that claim I sent them and I've never said a word to them. They're blabbering. And boy, is he against preachers like that and creatures. It is the unclean thing, is anything that is not of God. Jan from Texas. Who are the 24 elders in Revelation chapter 5? I can only give you an educated opinion. The 12 elders are the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. That makes up the 24. Now, God is always still the judge, okay? And don't ever forget that. He does all the judging. But that's my opinion. Mike from Utah. I will be brief. I heard on TV a while back someone say if a person such and who has been real religious takes interest and comes to the Lord, he or she may be mentally ill. Sounds like Satan to me, keeping my eyes open and ears open. Well, you certainly are there in Utah. There have been certain psychiatrists or claim to be that say anytime a person becomes very religious, there's something mentally wrong with them. The one that is mentally wrong is somebody that misleads people by jerking their strings and charging big monies for an hour of putting them down instead of where they could have taken God's word and it would build you up. I mean, you've got that type. They'll charge you all kinds of money to tell you how sorry you are. That's what it ultimately amounts to, you know. And the saddest part about it, and this is not somebody that is mentally ill now. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about jerks that falsely, when someone that claim religious people are that it is a mental condition. It is a spiritual condition, and it is from our Heavenly Father. Stephanie from Florida, One of my husband's questions is, how do we know that when Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and came to be and walked on the earth, winning souls over and teaching the Word of God and performing miracles, doing everything you say the Antichrist is coming to do when he comes, how do we know that Jesus was not the Antichrist? Your husband is listening to people, and that's fine. But how can we prove Christ was born? Have you got a calendar? Does he know how to read the calendar? And I'm not talking down to him. I'm serious. Does he know what A.D. means? Anno Domini. It means the year of our Lord. And that Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he know what BC means? That means before Christ. So he's listening to some man tell him when his very calendar tells him different. If he thinks a moment, think about it. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes his day because you read the Word and build your faith. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. He loves you. You return that love. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen good. You stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's